Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, all the best people I know out there. Do we have a best guest, Brad Meltzer? Oh, my goodness, the one and only. I am just so excited and honored that he's going to share his shine with us today. My goodness, Decoded, how many number one New York Times bestsellers. His new book just came hot off the press a couple weeks ago, January 15th, The Fifth Assassin. So we're going to talk about all this and so much more. And, you know, it's one of the goals of the Best People We Know show to bring you people that really change the world and help us be a better person for being here with us for 30 or 40 minutes during the day. And I tell you what, Brad Meltzer exemplifies all of that. He's all about heroes and all of us being everyday heroes and what a difference we make in the world by our stories. And whether we're touching one person or a million people, we matter. And that is what Brad's about. And I just love his passion, everything that he stands for. So just join us in the chat room. If you don't already have a BTR page, you can get one for free. BTR has all these new upgrades. So, you know, get your BTR page and join the chat room. You can speak with Brad at 347-637-1318. Press pound one. That'll put you through to the switchboard. And I also just want to thank everybody who's been voting for us in the Shorty Awards. We're number four in the national podcaster. Yay! And we're the only one in the top 10, the only show in the top 10 that actually features positive podcasting like this. So please, 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 if everybody listening voted, we'd be number one in a flash. Just go to the Shorty Awards, put in at Green Sky Deb, which is my Twitter handle, and vote for us in Podcaster, and you can put whatever you want in the because. But I'd like to think it's because our show makes a difference and helps people. And Brad Meltzer is going to do that with us today. Now, I'm sure all of you know him, but let me just tell you, if you don't already, he is the number one New York Times bestselling author of The Inner Circle. He's also written many bestsellers, The Tenth Justice, Dead Even, The First Counsel, The Millionaires, The Zero Game, The Book of Fate, The Book of Lies, and his books have spent over 11 months on the bestseller list. They have been translated into over 25 languages. He's also host, and this is one of my favorite shows, Decoded, which is on the History Channel. His best-selling nonfiction books, Heroes for My Son and Heroes for My Daughter, are a collection of heroes from Jim Henson to Rosa Parks. Great, great stories in there. He's also one of the co-creators of the TV show Jack and Bobby, and he is the Eisenhower Award-winning author of the critically acclaimed comic book Justice League of America. His newest thriller, The Fifth Assassin, was just released January 15th, and The Fifth Assassin is about a serial killer recreating the crimes of all the presidential assassins from John Wilkes Booth to Lee Harvey Oswald. He was raised in Brooklyn and Miami. Brad is a graduate of the University of Michigan and Columbia Law School. He currently lives in Florida with his wife and three children, and his wife is also an attorney. And his website is got to be one of the best ever, and it's filled with amazing content to inspire you. So you want to go to bradmeltzer.com. It's an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure. It's a BTR staff pick of the day. We are so honored to have Brad Meltzer with us today. Good morning, Brad. How are you? And thank you for joining us.
Thank you, sweetie. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my gosh, you are so awesome. I can't believe that you're here. I'm just so excited. And the good news is that we can recycle all your happiness because we have you recorded on iTunes now, forever and ever.
I appreciate that. There's nothing I want to do than be there forever and ever.
I'm sure. You know, I really am excited to talk about the Fifth Assassin and so many other things that are going on. But I have got to say, I think that mandatory homework for everybody is watching your TED video. I love that video. You have to share with people the three things that you talk about in there, because I think that is just how we need to live.
Yeah, you know, you're talking about my talk that I did for TED, which is one of the great conventions in the country and does great videos. And every night when I tuck my kids into bed, I tell them the same three things: dream big, work hard, and stay humble. And what the talk is about is literally, you know, about our ability to change history. People think history can't be changed, but history isn't just something that moves forward, you know, that has happened in the past. History moves forward too. And all those great things that haven't happened yet, that's history that's just waiting to happen. And it's up to us to write it. And so I go through those three things: dream big, work hard, and stay humble, and give you examples of each through history of people that have changed the world. And my real goal is to just inspire people and remind them of their power. You know, My novels, my fiction, my nonfiction, even everything I work on, even the TV show, has one theme. It is my core belief. I believe ordinary people change the world. I don't care where you went to school. I don't care how much money you make. That is nonsense to me. I believe in regular people and their ability to affect change on this planet. And it's why I believe in people like Rosa Parks or Jim Henson and Mr. Rogers, and those heroes that I include in the books for my kids, heroes for my son and heroes for my daughter.
Absolutely. You know, and I love your website. Is amazing. You have so many great videos there, and I'm just really want everybody to go there. You can find out about your books and everything, but you have some great videos and pictures with your kids and all that. It's just amazing, and thank you so much for sharing your shine with us. I would love to talk about this new book. Are you so excited about this new book?
I am thrilled. I really am. You know, I work on these books. I don't do a book a year. And it takes me all that extra time just to do the research. And because of the TV show, you know, people send me the craziest things. You know, I had someone who brought me the Holy Grail to one of my book signings once. I was like, great, just what I need, the Holy Grail right now. And sometimes, though, you get an amazing response. And a longtime reader of mine said to me, Brad, you need to come to this museum that I work at in Washington, D.C., because it's a museum almost nobody knows about, and you have to see what we have here. And I said, well, just tell me what you have. And he said, well, we have the skull of Abraham Lincoln. We have pieces of his skull. We have the bones of John Wilkes Booth, and we actually have the bullet that killed Abraham Lincoln. Would you like to come see it? And I was like, yes, I want to come see that, right? And I went there, and I saw that they didn't just have the artifacts from the Lincoln assassination, but they have pieces from the other assassinations from some of them as well. And it got me thinking, oh my gosh, look at this. There have been over 24 assassination attempts on the President of the United States. 4 have been successful. And I started thinking, what if there was a serial killer who was meticulously recreating the crimes of all the presidential assassins from John Wilkes Booth to Lee Harvey Oswald? And to him, they're not 4 lone wolves. They're actually all working together for the same secret cause over the course of a century. And he, of course, wants to be the Fifth Assassin, and that's where the book opens. That's where the Fifth Assassin opens.
It's unbelievable. I mean, because that how you got to that museum, you know, you didn't plan for that to happen. And then in your research, you found all these connections. Share with listeners, because this is amazing. Maybe this is a little scary, too, that in the 4 successful assassinations, you found some commonalities with these people.
I will say that's the creepiest part. You know, I always... I'm always trying to make things up, right? My book is fiction. I try not to, you know, but people always say, where do you get the idea for a book? And for me, I was going through this museum, and the amazing part was is they opened up a drawer, and I saw these bones in this drawer, and I said, what are these? And he says, meet President Garfield, the second president ever assassinated after Lincoln. And then he opened up another drawer, and he handed me a jelly jar with a spongy material in there. And I said, what's that? And he said, that's a brain. Guiteau, who's the second man to ever kill a president. Charles Guiteau killed President Garfield. And any man that hands you a brain, right, you want to invite him to your next party. That guy knows
fun,
right? But the truth is one of the things that one of the assistants handed me is they handed me a little leather swatch. And the leather swatch had, it looked like when you buy a couch, you get a sofa, they give you that little leather swatch that shows you the color of it. And I said, well, what's written on this leather? Because I could see some writing on it. They said, oh, that's the tattoo. And I said, the tattoo? I realized what I was holding was someone's skin.
Oh.
And, you know, gross, right? Totally gross. But, it, you know, one of the things they said, they can't even, it might be linked to one of the assassins. They didn't know. It might be linked to Guiteau. But so many things in the museum have been lost and stolen and brought back over the years, it's hard to tell. And in the corner of the tattoo, I saw a red diamond, like you see on a playing card.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how my brain works, is every detail of the Lincoln assassination, when Abraham Lincoln was killed, is cataloged. They know it all. They can tell you what John Wilkes Booth had in his pockets that day. They can tell you how the color of the horse he rode off on. They'll tell you next door to Ford's Theater, there was a bar. John Wilkes Booth went in and had a drink right before he killed Lincoln. They'll tell you what his final drink was. Every detail is known except for this one.
What?
And that is, it has to do with how John Wilkes Booth got past the White House valet. And here's the moment, right? John Wilkes Booth goes into Ford's Theater ready to kill Lincoln. He runs into the White House valet, who is an employee for the White House. And this is the moment. All he has to do, if he stops John Wilkes Booth, Abraham Lincoln never dies. And at that moment, John Wilkes Booth hands the White House valet a mysterious card. And to this day, the only detail that is not known about the death of Abraham Lincoln is what is on this mysterious card. And some people say it was his business card or a calling card. And I know back then, calling cards used to be playing cards. Your business card was a playing card. They would be blank on one side, the playing card, and you'd write your name on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I started thinking, wait a minute, I got a card, a playing card that I can link to Lincoln. Now I've got one that could potentially link to Guiteau, and obviously this is where the fiction takes over, but I'm like, now I have a thread, and now I can weave these. And the commonalities between the assassins, so I start the plot, the commonalities are amazing. So you'll see that, you know, all four assassins are meticulously neat. They barely drink. None of them do drugs. They're barely even known as troublemakers until, of course, that moment when they pull the trigger. But here's what creeps me out is, here's what assassins really have in common, is they can be broken down into two categories, hunters and howlers. And howlers make a lot of noise, and they say they're going to kill us, and they call them bomb threats, but the good news is they rarely take action. Hunters are very different. Hunters plot, and they plan, and they execute. And when you look at it, what's fascinating to me is that hunters have almost no interest in howling, and howlers have almost no interest in hunting. And when you look at the four assassins, from John Wilkes Booth to Lee Harvey Oswald, all four of them are hunters. And, you know, that's when I'm going, wait, I'm supposed to be making this stuff up, and I start seeing the reality overlap.
Oh, man. That's creepy. I mean, that's like, okay, so people that you think are dangerous, maybe they're not, because they're the howlers. But the ones that come out of the woodwork that are quiet, neat, don't drink, they're the hunters. That is really, like,
yeah, and that's what, you know, and that's what my character has to deal with. You know, be like, what happens in the book is, and this is where, you know, the plot comes from, is I, you know, there'll be a murder. So the murder takes place, and cops are there on the yellow tape. You know, all that stuff that you usually would see in a murder is there. And
mm-hmm.
basically what happens after that is Beecher, the main character who's an archivist for the National Archives, he sees a hole in the door that's drilled, like a peephole. And he thinks, oh, my gosh, wait, John Wilkes Booth drilled a peephole right before he killed Abraham Lincoln in the door so he could see him inside the day before, earlier in the day, I should say. And then he sees in the umbrella stand a piece of wood, and he says, wait, John Wilkes Booth put a piece of wood in Lincoln's box so he could bar the door so no one would come in and interrupt him while he was murdering him. And so while the cops see a murder, my character, Beecher, sees a recreation of one of the greatest crimes in American history. And that's where the plot takes over. You know, that's where you start seeing, oh, my gosh, this is it. And that copycat assassin, you know, starts doing things. But what I love is that it's based on real research. So, for instance, you know, I got a letter from former President Bush, Senior, the dad who just got out of the hospital a couple years ago, George H.W. Bush. And I've gotten letters from Clinton, too, you know, saying that they read the books or things like that. But the nice part of this novel of The Fifth Assassin is I got to ask President Bush, you know, what it's like to be in the White House. And listen, my books are all fiction, right? I can make up whatever I want, but we all know there are only a few people on this planet who know what it's like to live in the White House and know that someone's out there trying to kill you. And so when you know, I got to say to former President Bush, what are you scared in those moments? What is it like? You know, and are you scared of this and this and this, mm-hmm. I should say? And to ask him those, you know, three questions, you know, be able to find that out informs my president in the book. So when you read the president's reaction in the book, you're not just getting something I imagine, but you're getting it something based on a real president of the United States.
Mm. Yeah, I know. That is really amazing that you had, you know, President Bush Sr. and Clinton. The amount of research, I can't imagine how much goes into it, but that's what your show, Decoded, is about, is, you know, all of those great things that people wonder, you know, well, what could be the possible symbolism or the meaning or the secret code, and, you know, how you marry that fantasy with the thriller part that you make up with the actual, you know, real life history. That is unbelievable. And most people don't probably know, when you started out, you know, you had 24 rejection letters, and you still look at where you are today and all the other wonderful things that you've done. But I really want to stick with the theme on the book, because your parents, I know that they've both passed away, and my heart goes out to you, because I know for myself, my grandmother died in my arms. I was the sole caregiver. My mom was my best friend. I was the sole caregiver for my mom, and I was with her when she passed away at Mass General. You know, and then my dad passed away a year later, and you lost both of your parents really close together as well. But there's a common a theme in them actually being there to influence the writing of this book. Could you share with listeners about that?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When you write a novel, you know, you obviously you plan what the ending is going to be. You know what you're going to put in it. But inevitably, when you get done with the first draft, you see what you didn't even realize you were putting in it. And, you know, at least if you're being honest as a writer, you know, you show me a novel and I'll show you what the writer is dealing with in their own life, in parts of it. And when I looked at this book, as you said, it was the first, you know, my mom passed away 5 years ago almost now from breast cancer. My dad passed away you know, almost 2 years ago now, and this was really the first book I'd written since both my parents were gone. And as I finished that draft, I was like, okay, here's the book, and here's the book, and here's the book, and here's what it's about. And then I stopped and looked and said, okay, what else is it about? And I said, oh, I get it. Beecher's growing up in this book. Of course he's growing up, right? This is the book that's here when my parents are gone. I had no choice but for this book to be about growing up, because that's all I'm doing in my real life. And I'll tell you, you know, I don't say that to, you know, evoke sadness. I mean, I feel so blessed that I have my parents. I'll tell you one story about my mother is that I went to the headquarters of Borders Books in Ann Arbor, Michigan, when Borders was still around, and they said, guess where your books sell more than anywhere else? Straight sales, not even per capita. And I said, you know, New York City, 8 million people in one place. No. I said, Washington, D.C., I write, you know, thrillers about Washington, D.C. No. The number one place where my book sold was the Boca Raton, Florida borders, 1 mile from the furniture store where my mother used to work. That means my mother single-handedly beat 8 million New Yorkers. And I love that. I love that about my mom. And, you know, I think that's just the power we all know of moms and dads. You know, my dad used to go into bookstores and say, yes, I'm here for Brad Meltzer's new book. He's my favorite author. When's his book coming out? And they would be like, Mr. Meltzer, we know he's your son. We got it. We got it.
That's so cool.
You know, and those are my parents. So, you know, I love that this book gets to be dedicated to my dad. I love that the fifth assassin, you know, is in his name. And you know what? I thank them for that, because in a strange odd way, I feel like they're on my shoulder, still pushing me forward.
And, you know, I think there's a lesson for everybody, all of us out there. You know, at some point, we're all going to face our own death. I don't know where this idea comes, Brad, that we're all living forever for some reason. We just forget that, guess what? You're not staying. So, you know, your life matters. Make a difference. But I was watching on, it might have been one of the videos or read something that you oftentimes think about your mom saying, you know, I would love you even if you were a garbage collector or something like that.
Well, you know, that actually happened a number of years ago. My second book had come out. It hadn't done as well. My publisher was shutting down, and I thought it was the end of my career. And I called my mom, telling her how anxious I was, and she said to me, I'd love you if you were a garbage man. And she wasn't taking a crack at garbage man. My uncle was a garbage man. She was basically saying, whatever you are, I love you. And to this day, every day I sit down to write, I say those words to myself, I'd love you if you were a garbage man, just soaking in my mom's love for me. And, you know, and in a strange way, you know, you just described like that story is the one I put in Heroes for My Son, you know, I did, and Heroes for My Daughter. I did on the nights that my children were born, I wrote books that I started books that were going to last their whole lives. And I started filling it with stories of rules for them to live by. And a friend of mine eventually told me this amazing story of the Wright brothers, that every time the Wright brothers went out to fly their plane, they would bring enough extra materials for multiple crashes. Which means every time they went out, they knew they would fail. And they would crash and rebuild and crash and rebuild. And that's why they took off. And I was like, I love that story. I want my son to hear that story. I want my sons to hear that story. I want my daughters to hear that story. I say, I want everyone to know if you dream big and you work hard and you have a good side order of stubbornness, you can do anything in this world. And that's the, so I started writing. I said, that's the book I want to write, not a book of rules, but a book of heroes. So I started Heroes for My Son and filled it with, you know, Mr. Rogers and Jim Henson and Rosa Parks, as we said. And I did Heroes for My Daughter. And that story of my mom is actually one of the last heroes in each book. But for your readers, the best hero in the book is on the last page, because the last two pages are blank. And they say, your hero's photo here and your hero's story here. And I promise you, you take a picture of your mom or your dad or a grandparent or a military member of your family, and you put their picture in this book and you write one sentence of what they mean to you, that will be the most important hero in Heroes for My Son and Heroes for My Daughter.
You know, I think that book, well, Father's Day is, I guess, and, you know, Mother's Day is coming up. Those are just such great books, and I love what you said about the famous failures, because your idea that we are all heroes and we all make a difference, you know, that all of that is possible, and it's not because it's always the success. It's those failures. That Wright brother, they knew they were going to fail, but that kept them going, and people that make a difference. I think you had a story in there or somewhere about how Alex's lemonade stand started, or Make-A-Wish Foundation. I mean, you give us so many gifts to unwrap ourselves with. It's unbelievable. People don't understand these stories. And even your own personal story, who would know that you had 24 rejection letters when there were only like 20 publishers? And, you know, some people
said
to
you twice.
There
were only 20
publishers. Oh, my gosh.
There were 20 publishers. I got 24 rejection letters, which means some people wrote me twice to make sure I got the point.
Oh my gosh.
But, you know, the truth was is, you know, we can't forget, you know, we all want to look at, you know, I always tell my kids, you know what it means to be a sports star? Nothing, right? It means nothing. It just means you're good at sports. That doesn't mean you're a good person. And you know what it means to be a best-selling author? Nothing. It just means people buy my books. It doesn't make me a better person. The question is, what do you do beyond yourself? And, you know, I've had to, in a strange way, learn that lesson myself. You know, 11 years ago, right after 9/11, I got an email from a sailor on a submarine. And he said that he couldn't tell me where he was, but he wanted to write me this letter to say thank you, because one of my novels, The First Counsel, one of the thrillers I wrote about the White House, it really brought him, you know, some peace at that really hard time. And he just wanted to say thank you. And I thought, my gosh, that's the greatest thank you I've ever received. And so I thought, I have to do something nice for this sailor. So I called my publisher and I said, can we get 10,000 books donated to the USO? And they said, sure. And I said, that was easy. So I called another publisher and another, and we got 40,000 books donated to the USO. And eventually,
wow.
I said, you know, I 2 months ago, I got to go with the USO to do a USO tour to entertain our troops. And I was so excited, felt really happy that I got to go now, go, you know, that started my whole involvement with the USO. It culminated in this trip 2 months ago. And while we're there 2 months ago, we went to Kuwait and some other undisclosed military locations. We had a great time. One of the members of the military says to me, Brad, I just want to thank you. And I said, for what? And he said, for donating all those books all those years ago. And I said, how do you even know that? Almost nobody knows that story. And he said to me, well, I used to see stacks of your books in Iraq and Afghanistan, so I knew when they said courtesy of the USO that you must have donated them. And I was just like, you got to be kidding. Like, you know, I'm here to say thank you to you. Don't be thanking me. And so I came home from the tour, and I was like, I got to tell that original sailor who wrote me that email, I got to track him down. So I track him down. This is a true story. I track him down, and I say, you know, my name is Brad Meltzer. I don't know if you remember, but 11 years ago, you wrote me this email from a submarine. And I'm waiting to hear his reaction. I say, you know, you set all this in motion, all these amazing things, and I just want to say thank you to you. And he's oddly quiet. And I know, you know, when you're on a phone call and you know something's wrong, you don't know what.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, are you okay? And he says, no. And I said, why? And he said, because a couple days ago, my mother died from breast cancer. Now, what he doesn't know is my mother died from breast cancer. And it's one of those moments where the entire world stops spinning. And I say to him, I think I'm here to deliver a message to you. And he says, what's the message? And I said, you know, my mom died. The best piece of information anyone gave me was simply this, advice-wise. Our mothers never leave us, ever. And he starts crying. And because he's crying, I'm all teared up. And we're having this moment, and I'm not one of those new agey people who feels like magic just happens, you know, but sometimes we feel so alone in this universe, and sometimes we're profoundly connected. And the most amazing part, you know, for me, and the reason I tell you this story is I want you right now and all your listeners to think of the person in your life who you owe a thank you to, whether it's a teacher or someone who gave you your first real job or someone who believed in you when you needed it. But when we are done talking and you're done listening here, go track down that person, go find them, and go say thank you. You will never, ever believe what comes of it.
Wow. That was, now I'm getting kind of silent and choked up. That really is. Isn't that amazing? And that just threads right back to that humility, that being grateful that we all matter, that, you know, and again, I understand what you're saying about, you know, being too, okay, is it a divine appointment or not? But I do think, I think people listening right now, it's not an accident that they just heard you. I mean, I know that one of my favorite people who does the BTR staff picks and I were going back and forth because they were just so honored that you were coming on BTR and all of that. But, you know, she's going through her father-in-law is probably going to pass away this week. You know, I mean, we all have those connections. You know, we fear loss and death and we have sadness and we want happiness, but how we walk through these experiences, those are the choices. And I love how you challenge us to be the best that we can be in every moment. And the work that you've done and how you shared the story and how you walk your own talk, you know, that means so much more. The old, you know, I can hear what you say and I can watch you on TV with George Stephanopoulos or watch you on the History Channel or listen to you here now. But you know what really makes a difference is you do this in your personal life, and that, to me, it's those actions that speak so loud. And your parents obviously did that for you as well, and you do this for your kids and so many other people.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. I mean, I think whatever, you live your life and you live it by, you can either take full credit or you can realize that there are so many people who get us to these spots. And, you know, we've talked about my parents. I have, you know, an English teacher who changed my life by telling me I can write. And when my first novel came out, I went right back to her classroom and I said, I owe you. I wrote this book and it's for you. And you need to go back and say those thank yous. You need to see them. I mean, my English teacher, when I went to see her, was hysterical crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, I was going to retire this year because I didn't think I was having an impact anymore.
Oh, whoa.
And I said, are you kidding me? You have 30 students. We have one teacher. And, you know, I actually, if you go on my website, you'll see the whole story that I wrote about this English teacher and when I went back to see her. But the best part of it is when she actually just retired now a year and a half ago. And the amazing part was she lasted 13 years past that day when I went back to visit her. And I went to her retirement party, and I was the surprise that was going to be there. She didn't know I was there. And she couldn't see me. She went up to accept the nice award that they gave her. And it's this, you know, weird moment where, you know, I'm a little nervous going back because I'm like, what if she's not as inspiring as I remember? What if she's not as amazing?
Mm.
And I go back there, and she basically says to me, you know, she doesn't see me at all, but she says to the crowd, and all she has to do is say thank you. That's it, right? She has to say thank you, goodbye, have a nice life. And instead she says, if for those teachers out here who are still complaining that these kids are different today, you're getting old and you're getting lazy. Do not give up on these kids. Do not give up on these kids. And she gives a speech that's like the rallying cry in the final scene of Braveheart. And I'm sitting there so inspired, and I realize in that moment I will forever be her student. And these people are just incredible. You need to go track them down. And if I can leave you with any words, really, please go say thank you. Please, you won't believe what comes of it. I mean, listen, I know I'm here and supposed to be talking about the Fifth Assassin, but I can't help it. Like, this is my philosophy. This is how I live my life, and I feel like, you really will not believe the good that comes of going and saying thank you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's obviously working pretty well because you have more New York Times bestsellers and TV shows and all the things you do. I mean, gosh, I mean, the people that wrote Superman, their house is going to be fixed up in Ohio because of you. I mean, there's so many things that you do, and think about the person with the sailor and, oh, all the good work you do. You know, just I really would love if you could tell somebody out there listening right now, I know, is saying, wow, you know, I want to be an author. I want to write something. You know, what advice do you give to somebody? Because I don't think most people know, you know, the rejection that you had in the beginning. And, you know, hearing how you went from there to here, would, you know, give somebody some advice about that.
Yeah, you know, listen, I got 24 people who told me to give it up. I had 24 rejection letters on my first book. 24 people said, you can't do this. And I don't look back on the experience and say, I was right and they were wrong. I look back and say that whatever it is you choose to do with your life, whether it's host a radio show, write a novel, be a teacher, a doctor, a lawyer, whatever it is, you stay-at-home mom, whatever it is you choose to do, don't let anyone tell you no. Don't let anyone tell you no. I know it's cliche, but it's true. The only way you find your dream is when you chase it. So I hope for all your listeners, and this will be my perfect goodbye to you, but I hope for every listener that's here today, whatever it is your dream is, I hope you chase it. I hope each one of you finds it. And thank you so much for supporting these books. I greatly appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I mean, I was just so humbled in the conversations, and you, Caitlin and your staff, and, you know, wow, that is, it's just really been an honor to have you here, sharing your shine with us.
Thanks
and making
so much.
A difference. And The Fifth Assassin, that is just what another great New York Times bestseller along the way. So we can get that at any bookstore, but I think your website is a great place to go to get all the links for everything, bradmeltzer.com. And you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook. Geez, your Facebook page, what do you have, like 50,000 fans and all the interactions there? There's so many great things. So, you know, with that, I don't know. Did you have one more thing that you wanted to say?
Nope. I really appreciate it. I send my love and thanks to everyone listening, and thanks for supporting The Fifth Assassin and Heroes for My Son and Heroes for My Daughter and all the kind of craziness we do. I really appreciate it. And you have a great one.
Okay. Thank you so much, Brad Meltzer, for joining us. We really appreciate it. And God bless
you
for
you too.
Just helping us be better people and enjoy your great books and being
thank
who you,
you
are. So thank
bye-bye.
You so much. Well, if you've enjoyed this show as much as I have, my goodness, what an honor to have Brad Meltzer with us. What a great person. Go to iTunes and download this show on replay. You can download all of this great information that Brad has provided, and you can be stuck in traffic and listen to him. It's a great inspiration. And also, to keep us going and growing with all of the listeners that we have now, you can do a simple thing. Just share this show with somebody on Twitter, on Facebook, on LinkedIn. Give them the link to The Fifth Assassin. Tell them about Brad Meltzer's website. And I am telling you, besides Brad saying everybody has to go out and thank somebody, I love that. You really need to go to his website and take 5 minutes out of your life and watch his TED Talk. It is one of the best talks for anybody, and especially if you have kids too, teens and so forth. It is so inspirational. That TED Talk is something that should be mandatory for living, honestly. But The Fifth Assassin, another number one book, I'm sure, around the corner. So be sure to check that out. And again, thank you to BTR for making this an amazing staff pick. What a great, great show. And thank you to all of our listeners. And don't forget, Shorty Awards. Let's make a stand, everybody, for positive podcasting. Nothing against all the shows that are in the competition that are comedian shows, but our podcast, BTR, our Best People We Know show, is the only one, and if you look through the list of all the shows up in the top 10, you'll see we're the only show that has positive podcasting. And I think we could make a real stand to get positive podcasting noticed. We need stories like people like Brad Meltzer that, you know, yes, they're super successful, and yes, we love his books, and yes, we love his television show. But wow, let's talk about, you know, Heroes for My Son, Heroes for My Daughter. Let's talk about those famous failures that help all of us become a hero in our life, in somebody's life, that to know that we matter, that we make the world a better place, and we have no idea what tomorrow's going to bring. And again, not to be morbid, none of us are staying, so make the most of yourself. And like Oscar Wilde always says, be yourself because everybody else is taken. So be sure to go to the Shorty Awards and vote for Green Sky Deb for the Best People We Know in Podcaster. And Brad Meltzer, thank you again, and appreciate everybody being here. Make sure you tune in tomorrow. And for all of our great guests for this month, you can go to my website, greenskyandbluegrass.com, and get a listing of everybody. Thank you. Go out. Make it a great day. Say thank you to somebody. Write me. Send me a tweet. Let's send Brad tweets, who we're going to thank. He's at Brad Meltzer on Twitter, and we can say, hey, you know, listen to the show. This is who I'm thanking. Who is it in your life that you want to thank? All right, everybody, go out, make it a great day. God bless. Thank you for being here, being part of our Best People We Know family, and we'll see you tomorrow. So go out and make it a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking, and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now, you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.